Baruch, everybody. Last week we were holding in Kapitel Yud Gimel, Posig Gimel. Vayach Yoinusen Eis Nitziv Plishtim. Yoinusen smote, he killed the commissioner of the Plishtim. The Plishtim had invaded Eretz Yisrael and they had commissioners, governors over different cities that collected taxes and they oppressed the Yidden. Asher Begeva, that was in Geva, that was the name of the place. Vayishmu Plishtim, and the Plishtim heard about this. Vishol Toka Bashoifer Becho Haaretz. Shol, he had the shofar blown. Of course, he himself didn't go around blowing the shofar everywhere, but he commanded that the shofar should be blown throughout the land. Lamor saying, Yishmu Ha'ivrim, let the Ivrim hear about this. Now here by Yach Yoinison, Yoinison smote the commissioner of the Plishtim. The Malvim Lins shot over here was without the Das of Shaul. It was not under the command of Shaul. Yoinison did it alone. He was young, he was strong, he was courageous, and he went on his own and he smote the commissioner of the Plishtim. We mentioned last week that Shaul himself, by the Malvim Lins, this is the Malvim Lushitase. The Malbim says that the reason why Shaul did not start a war right away, although the Plishtim were oppressing the Yidden, because Shaul wanted the Malchus to first settle. Just like a new chassid doesn't go out to war, or somebody that just built a house, they told him to stay home and enjoy his house for a year, and so on. So Shaul wanted the Malucha, the Malchus, to settle first, and only then would he start the war. So the Malbim, Lushitase, learns that this was not under the command of Shaul. Yonason did this on his own. But there are others. There's a very chashuv sefer on Shmuel called Shaul Bechir Hashem. It speaks about the whole personality of Shaul and all about him, what a tzaddik he was. And he learns adarabba from the pasuk later on. It's mashma that this was under the instruction of Shaul. So by Yach Yonason Eis Nitziv Plishtim Yonason, he smote the Plishtim commissioner, and Shaul blew the shofar b'chol ha'aretz. Why did he do this? Because Yishmu Ha'ivrim. If the Plishtim are going out to war, you have to be careful with them. They're going to try and terrorize the Yidden. You know, those were the real Palestinians, not the fake Palestinians of today. Those were the real Plishtim. And they would terrorize the Yidden. You have to be on guard. And plus, let's gather for war against the Plishtim. Now, the Pasuk says, Vishol Toka Bashoifer B'chol Ha'aretz Lamar, Yishmu ha'ivrim, let the Ivrim hear. He refers to the Yidden as Ivrim, as the Hebrews, which is very interesting. First of all, why he referred to them as Ivrim over here all of a sudden, when usually they're known as Yisrael. Secondly, the very next pasuk says, V'chol Yisrael shamu leimar. It doesn't say, Kol ha'ivrim shamu leimar. Right away in pasuk Dalet, it says, V'shol tukab ha'shefa v'chol ha'aris leimar yishmu ha'ivrim. Let the Ivrim hear, and right away, Tachidei Dibur, V'chol Yisrael Shamu Lamar. All of Yisrael heard saying. Why did Shaul refer to them as Ivrim? And why does the Navi go back to saying V'chol Yisrael? So, I'd first like to bring down something about the meaning of the word Ivri. Where does it come from? What is its meaning over here? Why Dafka was it used here? I want to say over Yisoidus and what the word Ivri is, even though Biderach Pshat, I think the Pshat is different than what I'm going to say right now. What I'm going to say right now is more Biderach Drush, but it also has a tremendous Yisoid in it. And later on, when it comes to the Psukim later on, we'll see a little bit more what the Mepharshim say in Pshat. But this Inyan of Ivri, where does it come from? What's the Makor of the Inyan of Ivri? We find it in the Torah. It says in the Torah in Parashas Lech Lecha, by the tremendous world war between the Dalet Malachim and the Abba Malachim against the Chamisha Malachim. So Eich Melech HaBoshan wanted to goad Avram Avinu into the Malchama so that he could, Avram would be killed and he would take Sarah. So it says over there, Vayovei HaPolit, and the refugee came, Vayage LaAvram HaIvri. And he told Avram HaIvri, Ki Nishba Achiv, that his brother, that his relative was taken captive. Why over there is Avram known as Avram HaIvri? Nowhere else in the Torah do you find that Avram is called Avram HaIvri, and over there the Torah calls him Avram HaIvri. So first, the Satmar Rebbe says a very beautiful pshat. Why in the world did Oiv Melech HaBoshan think that Avraham Avinu is going to go out and fight against hundreds and thousands of people? I mean, it's like saying today, someone comes over to you and says, so-and-so, you know that your relative has been taken captive by the Chinese. They did, did they? I'm going to go out and fight them. I'm going to get them back. Such a fellow is nuts. I mean, he's not going to get anywhere near the Chinese. So why in the world did Oig Melech HaBoshan think he's going to tell Avraham and right away he's going to go out and fight against hundreds and thousands of people? The Satmar Rebbe says, because Oig Melech HaBoshan knew that Avraham Avinu stood for something. The word Ivri, Medrash says in one shot, we'll see soon, Avraham be'Eiver Echot, v'chol ha'olam kulay be'Eiver Sheni. Avraham Avinu took on the entire world. The whole world were Oig Avodah Zarah, and Avraham Avinu was a Yachid that stood up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Avraham Avinu would let nothing stop him, and this was a tremendous Chilul Hashem, because the Medrash says, first of all, light looked exactly like Avraham Avinu, and the Malachim held up light, and they showed, look, we took him captive. We have Avraham captive. He's in our hands. It was a tremendous Chilul Hashem. So Oig Melech HaBoshan knew the resolve of Avraham, that he was Be'Eiver Echad, V'chol Ha'olam Kulay Be'Eiver Sheni. He knew he would go to all lengths to avoid this Chilul Hashem. So he's up to Satmar Rebbe. The Medrash brings down over here on that pasuk, by Yugal Avraham Ivri, why is he called Ivri? It's a machloikis tanoi. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol ha'olam kulay me'Eiver Echad, va'Avraham Avinu me'Eiver Echad. Like we just said, Avraham Avinu took on the entire world. The whole world was at one end with Avdei Avodah Zarah, and he was a yachid against the rest of the world. Rav Nechemya Aimer, Shuhu Mibnei Bonav Shal Eiver. He came from Eiver, who was a grandson of Shem, and Eiver was a tremendous tzaddik. So, who mibnei bonav shall Eiver? Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan say, Shehu mei Eiver la nohar, he came from the other side of the river, and who mei siach b'loshen Ivri, and he spoke Hebrew, which was Loshen Kodesh. So, these are three different pshatim as to why Avraham was called Ivri, either because he was connected to the entire world, or he came from Eiver, or he was Me'Eiver Lanor. The Sefer Be'er Basoda, which is a Moridik Epirish on Rashi, he says that these three Tanoim are coming to explain why Dafka over here is Avraham known as Ivri. Because it's Tal Sechakashi. What did Avraham think? Okay, well, the Satmar Rebbe explains to me the thinking of Oig Melech HaBoshan. But how did Avraham Avinu Taka think he was going to be able to be Menatzeach over so many people? There it is, either he was Seimach on the fact that he was Me'Eiver Echad v'chol ha'olam kulay be'Eiver Sheni, he stood for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to help him. Or he was Seimach on Schus Avos, that he came from Eiver, who was a tzaddik, who was the Yachid B'day, right? Or because he was Meiser Nefesh, and he left Aviv, he left Lech Lecha Me'Aretzicha, Me'Meladetcha, Me'Beis Avicha, he left everybody just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. So b'schus that, Avraham Avinu felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to help him. So the tzad hashav of all of these tzotim is that Avraham Avinu was an individual. He didn't do what the rest of the world did. He left his family. He spoke a different language. And these were the schusim that he had. That's the tzad hashav between all of these tzotim. Now, I'd like to bring down here a yesod that was said over by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Once we're speaking about the union of Eiver and Ivri, it says that Yaakov Avinu learned in Yeshiva Shem VeEiver for 14 years. And then he taught over this Torah to Yosef. The brothers were jealous. You know, why is he Zecher to this Torah of Yeshiva Shem VeEiver? We're not Zecher to this. What was this Torah of Yeshiva Shem VeEiver? Like, what was so special about the Torah of Yeshiva Shem VeEiver? The Gemara says that Avraham Avinu was a Zaken V'Yoshev V'Yeshiva. He had a Yeshiva of his own. He was a Rosh Yeshiva. Yitzchak Avinu was a Zaken V'Yoshev V'Yeshiva. He had a Yeshiva of his own. Yaakov Avinu later on. But Avraham and Yitzchak had, they were Rosh Yeshivas. So Vosefis, Yaakov Avinu learned in the Yeshiva Shem VeEiver over the Yeshiva of his fathers. Number two, what is this special Torah that he gave over to Yosef? He gave over the Torah that he learned in Yeshiva Shem VeEiver. And what about the Torah that he learned from his father? What about the Torah he learned from his Zayde? Like, why dafki yeshiva shen ve'eved? So Rabbi Yaakov said, a mighty dicky aside. Rabbi Yaakov said, the yeshiva shen ve'eved was different than the yeshivas of Avraham and Yitzchak. How so? Shame and Aver, they lived at a time when the entire world were over that Avodah Zarah. They were immoral. There was Tumah that filled the entire world. Shame lived during the Dar HaMabul. Aver lived during the Dar HaFlogeh. They were Yechidim in their time. And they knew the way to stand up against a Rabbin. They knew the way to act as Yechidim when the rest of the world is entirely different. There's a special Mahalach. There are special tactics that you have to adhere to. That was the Torah of Yeshiva Sheng Ve'Eber. Avram, even though in the beginning he was a Yachid, but Avram, Avinu, wherever he went, he was a Kairi B'Shem Hashem. He gathered thousands of people together, and he was Mepharsim, the name of Hashem, so that by the time he already progressed, there were hundreds, there were thousands of people that believed in Hashem, and Yitzchak carried that even further, and Yaakov carried that even further. By then already, they weren't just plain Yechidim. By then already, the name of Hashem was much more Nisfarsim. So that was the difference. The Torah of Shem Ve'Eber was a different Torah, different tactics, different Mahalchim, how a person has to act as a Yachid, as opposed to how a person acts with Torah as a Rabbin. There's different Torahs there. Dr. Yaakov, the Yaakov Avinu sensed with Ruach HaKadosh, Yosef is going to need the Torah of Shem Ve'Eber. Yosef is going to need the Torah of how to act as a Yachid when he's standing up against a rabbi. He didn't know how, he didn't know when, he didn't know why. But he sensed that Yosef is going to need this Torah. So he taught him the yeshiva that he learned at Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eber, which was the Torah of the Yachid. Now the brothers were jealous. Why is he? But the brothers didn't realize they weren't going to need that because they lived in a kehillah and they lived together. They were not Yechidim. But Yosef was a Yachid, and Yosef stood up to all of Mitzrayim. He remained Yosef HaTzadik, Mitchilosei V'Atzayfei. That was the Torah of Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eber. In other words, the Hatzad HaShav over here, when we talk about Ivri, we're talking about a Yachid. I'd like to bring down here a Meir de Kipshat from the Chofetz Chaim. In Parshas Vayechi, by the Brachas, Yaakov Avinu says, Tihiyena L'Rosh Yosef, Ulekotkoid Nizir Echav. The brachas should be on the head of Yosef, on the head of the one that separated from his brothers. Yosef was zeichet to more brachas than the rest of the shvatim. Why is that? So Rashi says, Ulekotkoid Nizir Echav, Shepirish Me'echav. He separated from his brothers. Zokta Chafetz Chaim, that the reason why Yosef was zeichet to all of the brachas more than the brothers, Hayosef was a yachid in Mitzrayim. And he had nisyanis that the brothers didn't have. The brothers were under the rule of Yaakov Avinu. They're in a makom kadosh, under the hashpah of Yaakov Avinu. For them it was much easier. But Yosef had to stand up as a yachid in the makom avi avos hatumah with kishet, with avodah zarah, with znus, and he was able to maintain his kedusha. So Yosef was zeichet to brachas that nobody else was zeichet to. Chafetz Chaim says it's the same thing with us. In the Navi and Amos, we are called She'eris Yosef, the remnants of Yosef, all of Klal Yisrael. Ula Yechanan She'eris Yosef, and in Slichas, Ula Yerachim al She'eris Yosef, we say. We are called She'eris Yosef because we are Yechidim. Compared to the rest of the world, you have 8.5 billion people in the world. How many Frumah Yidim do you have today? We are Yechidim. And when you're Yechidim standing up against the rest of the world, you're being Mekayim that Avram or Ivri, that which he passed down to us, and that which was passed down to us from generation to generation, we will be zeichet to tremendous, tremendous bracha. In the Haftarah Vayechi, the Chofetz Chaim says the same thing over again. It says in the Haftarah Vayechi, Vayikrivu Yemei David Lomos, Vayitzav Eshloimet B'nai Lamer, and he told them all of the different things, V'livnei Barzilei Hagiladi, Ta'aseh chesed. You should do chesed to the sons of Barzilai HaGiladi. V'ohoyu ba'oichlei shulchanecha. They should be those that eat on your shulchan. Why? Ki chen korvu elai b'baruchi v'bnei Avshalom achicha. When I ran away, when Avshalom your brother, when he rebelled against me, and when he gathered a rabbim against me, there were very few that stood by my side. and the Barzilai HaGiladi, they were makar of me, and they helped me out in my time of tzara. Memela, you should be made to, with them. They should be eating on your table regularly. Says, what did the Bnei Barzilai already give to David HaMelech? You would think that if there's zoiche to such tremendous kavod to sit by the table of Shlomo HaMelech, they must have given him a suda fit for a king. No, the Gemara Navi Dezara Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis says Shnei Minei Daisos Nosan Barzilai HaGiladi LeDavid. Two types of cereal: Cheerios and Rice Krispies. That's all he gave. Two types of cereal. Maybe there were sugar crisps, that I'm not sure. Two types of cereal. And for that, they were zeiche to sit by Shlomo HaMelech for the rest of their lives. And what exactly did Shlomo HaMelech, what did he serve? It's a shloishim kur seiles every day, v'shishim kur kemach, asara bakar, asara tzayin, levad me'ayol, utzvi v'yachmur, barbaram avuch. Like, it was like unbelievable. And that's his expression, kisuda shloime b'shaite. They were zeiche to this every single day. Why? For the Rice Krispies and the Cheerios that they gave David HaMelech. Zok de Chofetz Chaim, what's the pshat? The pshat is, when a melech is in trouble, and nobody follows after the melech, and there are a few mekarovim, those people could be zeiche to a tremendous hiskarvus like nobody else can. And the melech, they were zeiche to that hiskarvus ad oilam. Dr. Chofetz Chaim, it's the same thing with us. When the entire world rebels against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the entire world does not want to be makir that there's a Barei Olam, when the entire world is a world of hefker, and they go, Achashvirus Libam, and we are faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are the She'evus Yosef, we are the Yechidim, we are the ones that follow in the footsteps of the Avos HaKadoshim, Avraham Ivri especially, who set the way l'chatchila, we will be zoiche to tremendous, tremendous Ashiras, tremendous, tremendous covet. May it come very soon. Now, I saw Grad in Parshas, but this coming Parsha, the same thing over again, the same, the Chofetz Chaim, he hits over and over again, he says this, he said, that even for a little bit, you could be kind of tremendous as Karvus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael was redeemed from Mitzrayim b'schus two mitzvahs, Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. V'erech mizbei sesach b'damayach, v'oymolach b'damayach chayi, v'oymolach b'damayach chayi, they're empty, v'at erim v'erya, you were bare, you had nothing. But I saw you had two mitzvahs, Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. What's the pshat? How could you be zoiche to a geula with two mitzvahs alone? Zok the Chofetz Chaim, because the Yidden, they were downtrodden. They were in the Memtesh Shari Tumah. The Yafal P came. They were mois and nefesh for these two mitzvahs. With two mitzvahs alone, you can be paid a tremendous amount. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees how fadaikit we are, how fatzorit we are. He sees how lowly we are. And Yafal P came, we're doing mitzvahs. At such a time when we do mitzvahs, it's a gevaldig eschus in front of Hashem. So the Chofetz Chaim said that today, in his time, he said, this Kal V'Chaim, what should we say in our time? But in his time, he said, today, a person can be kainu with a little bit, much more than what they can be kainu with in earlier years. Because today, it's much harder to keep mitzvahs. There's so much esnagdus. There's so many ruchos rois in the world. There's so many shverikaiten. And how dear we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he brings down a meridik zach. The Gemara says in Masechtas Gittin, the famous Gemara with Kamtze and Bar Kamtze, when unfortunately the Beryonim, Klal Yisrael had enough to supply themselves for over 20 years, the three Ashirim, Nagdim and Ben-Gurion, and the Ben-Titzis Aksas, and Kalba Savua, they had enough to supply Yerushalayim for over 20 years. And the Beryonim, they burnt the storage houses. There was a terrible hunger at the time. So Marta Basbaisus, she was the wealthiest woman in Yerushalayim. And she sent out her eved and she says, go get me seilis. She was, you know, she wanted refined flour. It comes out, the seilis was gone. It wasn't very bright. So he comes running back to her and he says, there's no more seilis. Well, then get me kemach. Take anything. He goes to the store. There was no kemach. There was only barley flour. He runs back. There's no more kemach. You know, well, get me barley flour then. He comes back and the barley flour was also gone. So, Zokta Chofetz Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's the Melech Malchi Amlochim. When the marketplace is filled with seilas, then he wants seilas. If there's no more Silas, he'll be willing to take Kemach. If there's no more Kemach, he'll be willing to take barley flour as well. In older generations, when the whole world was a different world, and when Klal Yisrael was on a much higher madrega, and the air was purer, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu mund, he bedafka wanted mitzvahs with the highest kabbonis medal things. Today he's even willing to take barley flour. He's even willing to take suvin. That doesn't mean to say that we should relax our standards. We have to try as much as we can. But a lot of times we feel, oh, what's my Shemayin Esrei word? My mind is wandering here, my mind is wandering there. And I come to a shir and the eyes, they droop off a little bit. You know, it's difficult at the end of the day. And we feel, oy vey, you know, what am I in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the emes is that is so choshev by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that a person comes towards the end of the day when he should be laying down and relaxing with a newspaper and so on. And instead he picks himself up and he goes to a shir and he fights with the eyes coming down. He fights those eyes and he wants to stay awake for a shir. He might not be fully concentrating, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the most choshev thing in the world. That is the schus of the She'eris Yosef. We're living in a time when the Aver is poisoned by Avi Avos HaTumah, and we're able to withstand all of that. That's the schar of Yechidim that go after the Melech at a time when the rest of the world is rebelling against him. Getting back to our Inyan over here. B'derek Drush, I thought L'chadchila, that it could be that the reason why they're named Ivrim over here is, number one, because they were Yechidim. They were outnumbered. They were outnumbered, hundreds and thousands of Pelishtim gathering to war, and they were separated. Shaul had an army of 3,000 with him here. There were 1,000 someplace else. They were like Yechidim. They weren't yet mobilized. So they were like Ivrim, Daima to Eber, who was a Yachid Bismanek. Secondly, it could also be very, very well be the same way the Pirish Be'er Basada said over there that they wanted to be Ma'ir the Schus of Eber, of the Avos HaKadoshim. They were Yechidim. So over here also, Yishmua Ivrim, by saying that, he wanted to be Ma'ir the Schus of those that were Yechidim in past generations. That should help them in this Mulchama over here. But B'derek Pshat, and the Yisoid is Emes, 100% Emes. Over in Pshat, we'll see soon that there's more Al Piderek HaPshat, what to say. Agav, I also want to mention another thing, a beautiful thing I saw from the Chofetz Chaim, the Geya. Nageya the Geula, or in Ikvas of the Mashiach, he was talking about Ikvas of the Mashiach, how nowadays with a little bit we could be kind of things even with a lesser darg of a mitzvah. But he also mentions, how is it that we see that the Rishonim today are so matzliach? The Rishonim are so matzliach. You have these Arab beasts, these terrorists. Really, the chayas. It's not true. It's an insult for chayas to call them chayas, because chayas, they live in the forest. They live in the wilderness. This is the way they were made. These are supposed to be human beings that are totally beyond anything human. And you see that they're being matzliach. What's the pshat? All the Arab countries. That when the Balabasta, when she's preparing the chalent on Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, she picks up the beans to check if they're rotten. She picks it up for the moment. The bean is picked up. Then it ends up right away in the garbage. He says, we're holding Erev Shabbos now. We're holding right before Mashiach. Mamish right before Mashiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing the chalent. He's preparing those that are going to be together with him on Shabbos. It's going to be a Yom Shekulei Shabbos. We're going to be together with the Shechina. So before him, he's picking up the beans. Right before he throws them out for the moment, they'll lift it up, but it's right before holding Otad, right before they'll be put in the garbage. Pasuk Dalet. V'chol Yisrael shamu lemar. All of Klal Yisrael heard saying, Hikor Shaul, Eis Nitziv Pelishtim, Shaul smote the commissioner of the Pelishtim, V'gam Nivash Yisrael b'Pelishtim, and also Yisrael has become despicable in the eyes of the Pelishtim, Vayitzaku Ha'am Achrei Shaul, and the nation was summoned after Shaul HaGilgal to go to Gilgal. Now, why all of a sudden over here we just said Yishmu HaIvrim? So, B'derach Drush, we said what the Indian of Ivrim is, but why all of a sudden over here does it switch to V'chol Yisrael? So, I saw in one of the Heintig Pshat put out by Moshe Rav Kook, appears on Sefer Shmuel, says a very interesting Pshat. He said, B'derach Pshat, why did Shaul say Yishmu ha'ivri? He said Ivri was a derogatory lashon that the Goyim used to describe the Yidden. Ivrim, they don't belong here. They're from someplace else. Aliyah, that's what the Palestinians think. That we don't have a history in Eretz Yisrael. We come from Europe. We come from other places. So they referred to the Yidden as Ivrim. They're me'aver lanor. They don't even belong here. It was a derogatory word that they used to describe the Yidden. So Shaul wanted to rile up the populace. You know, Yishmu Ivrim, let them hear that the Goyim that call us Ivrim, they're trying to make a war against us, and that would mobilize them, that would unite them, and that's why he said Yishmu Ivrim, let the Ivrim hear. What's the next pasuk? V'chol Yisrael Shamu. They came out of Rabbah in an elevated way, they came mobilized, and they came with the Ren to go fight against the Pelishtim. This was Bederach Pshat, this from the Hain Tegib Shatim that says this in the pasuk. Why he said Ivrim? To rile them up, and then it says, "B'chol Yisrael, they came, taki came, b'teiris Yisrael." But there's still one more shot, which we'll see in one of the later psukim that will explain it in a different way. Now, did Shaul actually tell Yonason to smite this commissioner? I told you it's a machloikis. From here, from this pasuk, it's mashma, "B'chol Yisrael shamu leimar, hikar Shaul eis nitziv plishtim." They attributed it to Shaul. The Malvim does not learn like that. The Malvim says Shaul didn't actually do it. It could be by mistake they attributed it to Shaul, or it could be, you know, they thought that if Yonason did it, obviously it must have been Shaul. But Shaul never did it, because Shaul never wanted to start a war yet. It's also a shtickle mashma that it wasn't Shaul that did it, because we're going to see in one of the very next psukim here, one of the commands that Shmuel HaNavi told Shaul was he should wait 7 days before Shmuel comes to him. He shouldn't start any wars, he shouldn't do anything. So it's not mistavril if he that Shaul would command Yonason to start a war. Right? But from the pasuk it's a shtigliyeh mashma that it was Shaul. Other Mepharshim learn again, the Malbim learns that this was betois. It wasn't really Shaul, but they attributed it to Shaul. Zav the pasuk vayta. V'ish Yisrael ro kitzarloi. And the man of Yisrael saw that he was in trouble. Ki nigas ha'am, because Yisrael, the nation of Yisrael was hard pressed. They've already been oppressed by the Pelishtim for a while. By Yischavu ha'am b'ma'orei. Secondly, Yidden started hiding b'ma'oreis in caves, uvachavochim in fortresses, uvasloim and in rocks, caves I guess it was, uva trichim and in towers, uva bayris and in pits. So it was bad news. On the one, first of all, the Pelishtim were already oppressing them, and now Yidden were originally they mobilized, but a lot of people were hiding. Why does it say in this pasuk over here, the ish Yisrael? What's the lashon ish? It's going on those that came out and they mobilized in force, and they came out faithfully against those that hid. There were those that hid. There were those that were afraid. But those that came out are called Ish Yisrael. They were true men. Also, the Ish Yisrael is Lashon Yachid. They came out as men, and they all united. They all mobilized under one force. But Afal Pi Kein, they saw they were in big trouble. Number one, Ki Nigas Ha'am. Because the nation has already been oppressed for a while. And they saw already by Yischabu Ha'am, there were people hiding. There were people afraid. So they saw that they were in trouble. The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh says over here, the Ish Yisrael ro'u kitzar loy. What's the Lashon loy, Lashon yachid? Pashtim shad is it's going on themselves. The people of Yisrael, the nation of Yisrael, saw that it was in trouble. The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh says that the loy is going on Shaul HaMelech. The people of Yisrael sensed that their king was afraid. Kitzar loy. That their king was afraid, and Mimela, they themselves felt that the king is afraid, then we're in trouble as well. You know, Kozman, the king, as long as he's courageous, Kozman, he has confidence, is very good. But they saw Kitzar Loi, Mimela, you know, people started hiding. The Ivrim Avru es Hayardein Eretz God, the Gilad. The Ivrim, again, they're called Ivrim. Avru es Hayardein Eretz God, the Gilad. They passed over the Yarden to the land of God and Gilad, which was on the other side of the Yarden. That was on the eastern side of the Yarden. Vishol Eidenu Ba Gilgal. And Shaul was still in Gilgal. The Chol Ha'am chordu acharav, and the whole nation, they hurried to be with Shaul. The Malbim says over here that in this pasuk here, there's another two reasons why Yidden were afraid. Number one, Ivrim Avru, there were people, not only were there people that hid in caves and in pits and in whatever, there were people that were running away from Eretz Yisrael, that were going to the other side of the Yarden to get away from the Pelishtim. Furthermore, Vishal Oidenu Bagilgal, Shaul was in Gilgal, instead of going out to fight against the Pelishtim, he was waiting in Gilgal, as was the commander Shmuel, not to start any proceedings of war. So it comes out there was a whole bunch of reasons over here why Yidden were afraid. Again, let's chazer over. Number one, Kinigai Sa'am, they were already previously oppressed by the Pelishtim. Number two, there were people already hiding. Number three, there were people running away to the other side of the Yarden. And finally, Shaul wasn't doing anything. Shaul is waiting in Gilgal. The people are leaving him. He's not doing anything. Of course, he was trying to listen to the Tzivui of Shmuel. So, Mimela, there was a very good reason over here why they should be afraid. Here in the Pasuk, we have another reason. And this is what I really think is the pshat of why originally Shaul said Yishmu Ivrim. The Pasuk tells us over here why they were called Ivrim. Because they went over the Yarden. Now they went over the Yarden. Shaul realized l'chatchila that the people living near the river, they can make an easy escape. So l'chatchila he blew the shofar to say, Yishmu Ivrim, those people that can make an easy escape, they should not escape, they should come and mobilize. And that the Pasuk says, Vayishma Yisrael, only Yisrael heard. But the people that Taka lived right near the Yarden that could make an easy escape, they didn't listen. They Taka made that escape. But the reason why Shaul HaKadkhila, why it says, Yishmu Ivrim, I want them to hear it also. Although you could make an easy escape, don't do that. Come together with everybody else. The problem was, only Vayishma Yisrael, only Yisrael heard. But they ran away. Staten Pasuk Baitin. Posikhes, Vayoichel Shivas Yonim. And Shaul, like he was instructed, he waited for 7 days. Lamoyet, for the set time, Asher Shmuel, that Shmuel had set for him. Veloibo Shmuel HaGilgal, and Shmuel wasn't yet in the Gilgal. He hadn't arrived. So you have to understand what Shaul is doing over here. Vayofet Zahamei Olav. And the people are disbanding from Shaul. He started out with 3,000 people. He's waiting here for Shmuel to come. Shmuel said he's going to be here after 7 days. He's not coming. Now, we'll see in a minute, it wasn't mamish the full 7 days yet. But he sees people are running away from him. He has to wait here. He's losing his army. The Pelishtim are getting stronger and stronger. They're coming closer and closer. And here Shaul has to wait for Shmuel. You could understand how someone would get nervous under such a matzav. Vayomer Shaul, so Shaul in desperation. He sees he's going to lose his people. Vayomer Shaul hagishu es ha'ayla v'hashlamim. Bring forth the carbon oila and the shlamim. Vayal ha'ayla. And he brought the carbon oila. Shmuel HaNavi had told him, don't bring any korbanos until I come. Don't make a move until I come. Shaul is desperate. He's people leaving him left and right. He's got to do something. He's got to do something to be ma'ir of the oila. At least let me bring the korbanos and appease Hashem before we go out to war. So he said, bring the oila. Question is, why Taka was Shaul over on the words of the Navi? The Navi told him not to. Don't bring korbanos until I come. So the Malbim says that in the psukim themselves, our merum is the excuses. We find four excuses that Shaul might have had for why he brought a cart. Number one, it says, ki nigasa'an. Nigasa'an, there was a sakana. They were already oppressed previously. He found that it was a tremendous sakana. You know, people are spreading out. They're running away. The sakana was getting greater and greater. So that's one excuse he could have had. Also, he did wait for 7 days. It says by Yoichel Shivas Yamim. He waited for 7 days. There is no sign of Shmuel arriving Bechlau. So he said, listen, even though the seventh day didn't come yet, but Mitzvah Hayon Kikulay, a good chelik of the day already passed, right? But Shmuel's Kavana was to wait a full 7 days. But he realized, he rationalized. It's already the seventh day. A good chaluk of the seventh day passed. I'm losing my people. By Yovitzar Ameyolov. The people are spreading out. And also, he didn't start a war. He didn't start the Melchama. What harm could there be in just bringing korbanos? He said, maybe the Iker Kpeda of Shmuel was not to start a Mulchama. I'll bring the Karbanis. What's so terrible if I bring the Karbanis? So he said, let's bring the Karbanis. Now, Rashi asks a question over here. How can you bring Karbanis? You need a Kain to be Makar of the Karbanis. What's the fact there was no Kain over here? So the Marie Karadaka says, it doesn't mean that Shaul himself was Makar of it. He called the Kain to be Makar of it, and it was Alpi his Sivui. That's why it says that Shaul himself was the one that was Makar of the carbon. But Rashi says that this was a Bama, and a Zor is Mutter to be Makar of Karbanis on a Bama, so that was not a problem. And it was just as he finished bringing the Oila. This always happens. This always happens. It happened with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't come exactly on time. And all of a sudden, he only would have waited just a little bit more. So Shmuel went out towards him to greet him. He didn't yet bring the carbon shlamin. He went out to greet him. Now this carbon oil of the Marie Kara, he's mesupik. If this was the oilus hatamit of the day, shal shachar, or was it stamin oilus nedavit to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu before they started the milchama? Ayyamer Shmuel, and Shmuel said, Meir Sisa, what did you do? Ayyamer Shol ki roisi, I saw ki nofetz ha'amei olai. I saw that the nation is disbanding from me. You didn't come. I waited 7 days. It was already a chelik of the seventh day. You didn't come. And the plishtim, they're getting stronger and stronger in michmash. What was I supposed to do? Now, any moment, the plishtim are going to come to me to Gilgal and wage a war. I didn't yet supplicate the face of Hashem with a carbon. I strengthened myself, even though my heart told me I shouldn't, but I strengthened myself for Aleh Ha'ayla, and I brought the Ayla. This is what, so from the Pesukim you see clearly, Shaul thought that he had a very good excuse. Shaul thought, listen, Sai to Sakana, Sai, I'm not really being Abraham, I'm only bringing the Karbanis. Also, the Plishtim are gathering. It's also already the seventh day. So it's not the worst thing in the world. This is what he rationalized. Have a good Tavach, everybody.